Amen. Let's all stand. Welcome into the house of the church today. Amen.
Far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide.
All right.
exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Would you worship the Lord? We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid at Calvary. Lord, you went to the cross, even though the human side of you said, "Let this cup pass from me." Yet you prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And Lord, because the will of God was done, today we have salvation. Today we have a remission and forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for the price that you paid at Calvary. Praise the Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank God. Amen. We welcome you to our service this morning. I see we have some guests here. I don't recognize some of you or know your names, and forgive me for not being able to call your name, but if you'll allow me, I'll call the name of my good friend back from my hometown, Mark Kilcollins. God bless you for being here and joining with your daughter to worship here this morning. Amen. We're going to the Lord in prayer, and we have the requests that are written in the bulletin, which we'll address in a moment, but a request has been turned in, a special request for a lady that's having surgery today. Her name is Alejandra Alvarez, and it's been submitted by her son, Felipe, and she's having surgery, so let's ask God to help with that surgery and help with the healing and recovery, that it will be a successful surgery and a good physician always recognizes the hand of God in healing, and we believe that that will happen this morning. Our standing requests that are in the bulletin, but we do want to call him this morning, and I appreciate your prayers for me. I will tell you, I am doing much, much better. My knee that was replaced is pretty well back to normal, and I pretty well have good activity. My wife is still having difficulty gaining any strength, and I appreciate continued prayer for her, and that you will keep her in your prayers. She would love to be in church, but she's just not strong enough to be able to get out, and so I trust you understand that. And we pray for Dan Barkas. Good to see him here in church this morning, and God has helped in his undertaking for him. I believe I see Sister Lipke here also, and we pray for her continued peace and comfort. Sister Esther Norris has not been able to be with us in church for several years, but we do pray for her peace and comfort as she resides in her assisted living quarters. And I believe we have a praise report on Brother Plappert. He texted me a week ago and said the doctors told him there were really no traces of Lyme disease, which was the fear, and we're thankful for that healing, but yet the recovery takes a while, what he went through, so we appreciate continued prayers for him. Also keep praying for Kay Moo, that God will undertake and move the process along for this transplant that she is hoping to receive soon, and that God will be with her. Your needs this morning with the upraised hand, whether it be for salvation for a loved one, for it be a social need or financial need, God has promised to supply all of our needs, not according to our riches, but according to his riches. Praise Jesus through Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We bow before you, Almighty God. You are so good to us, so good to be in the house of God. So thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can call upon your name. Lord, when we sang those beautiful songs this morning, reminding us, oh God, of the price that you paid at Calvary. And Lord, the song, oh God, that we address the hallelujah side, the place where we are able to live today. We can sing hallelujah. We can shout hallelujah in every circumstance of life because, Lord Jesus, you are with us and you are providing for us and you are taking care of us. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings, all of the goodness of God. And Lord, we're especially thankful, dear God, that some way, somehow, through the intervention of a friend, through the intervention of a parent, dear God, amen, and their prayers, Lord, you found us, and we were open to and accepted, amen, the gift of salvation. Praise God, and obeyed the word of God in water baptism and in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for today. Lord, all of the needs that are still among us, we pray for these healings, dear God. We pray for Sister Moo that you will undertake for her. We pray, dear God, for the Sister Alvarez this morning that's having surgery. Be with her today. Be in that operating room, we pray, and guide the surgeons as they do their part, dear God, for healing, and we'll claim her healing in Jesus' name. We pray, dear God, for continued comfort for Sister Esther Norris. We pray, Lord God, for continued uplifting for Brother Dan Barkas this morning and healing for his body. And oh God, for Sister Lickby likewise. Touch Sister Grant this morning. Help her to gain strength and to be able to be with us in the house of God. In every hand that was raised, you know the need even before we asked and raised that hand, but yet you have ordained that we should continue to ask, to seek, to knock, dear God, and bring these needs before you. Oh, Savior Divine, we are recognizing that you are the God of creation. We are recognizing, Lord Jesus, that you are in control. We are recognizing that you have all power. And we thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, for these blessings. To bless this church service this morning as we continue our worship, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you, and you may be seated.
Good morning. I need all the kids to come forward today. I've got a fun song that we're going to do. I'm glad all of you are here today in church. This is the best place in the world to be, especially on Sunday morning. The song that we're going to sing today is about facing giants. Does anybody have any giants that they face? Do you have any giants? No? How about cleaning your bedroom? Or how about in school when you have to work on your homework? Who likes homework? Does anybody like homework? You like homework? Oh, that's awesome. You must be very smart. I like it. Cool. Yeah. Okay, why don't we all, I need all of us to stand up. Can you all stand up for me? Thank you. Yeah, everybody stand. You don't need to sit down today. Go ahead and stand, guys. Thank you so much. Awesome. So we are going to sing, I need everyone to use their imaginations today. And you can all use your imagination as well. We are going to imagine that we've got a sling. We're going to sing Only a Boy Named David. And what else did he do? When he had his sling, he went and he found himself what? Do you remember? What did David go and find? He had his sling and he went and he found what before he?
Yeah. Rocks.
Yeah, he did. He went and found some rocks and he put them in his pocket. So he was prepared when he went to face Goliath. So yeah, let's go ahead and sing. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round. Get your slings out. Round and round. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. Ready to sing it again? I need you to sing it loud. Okay, you ready? Okay, go ahead.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing.
Only a boy named David.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone.
So we need to talk to Jesus about our giants today. Okay, you all have a good time in Sunday school. Love y'all. Yep, you can go to Sunday school.
Amen. Lord bless them as they go off to their classes this Sunday morning. And looking at the schedule, this coming week is junior camp week. And because junior camp is happening, there will not be a service here held here at ABI, but we're encouraging everybody to go out to service out at Camp Galilee on Wednesday evening to be with all of our children. There is a time change that needs to be updated in the bulletin. Out at camp on Wednesday, they're starting service at 6:45 in the evening, 6:45. And so they're starting a little early because they have the children out there so they can get those kiddos to bed sooner. And other than that, we're going to continue in worship this morning. So if the ushers could be ready, as our singers come, we're going to worship the Lord through giving and through singing.
Nails in his feet. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. One final breath He gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is said, He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Oh, He's the resurrected King. He is the one who is alive and alive forevermore. Worship You. Hallelujah to Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to You, the King of glory. Hallelujah to You, my Jesus. Oh, You are worthy this morning, worthy to be praised and adored and glorified in Jesus' name. What a beautiful name, what a wonderful King, and what a great morning it is to serve the Lord. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, and we'll be at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Amen. It's so good to fellowship and in the Word with all of you this morning. It is a blessing, it is a privilege that we have to congregate together in worship to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In previous weeks that I had an opportunity to share with you, I had talked with you about hope and charity. We talked about hope and how it is a virtue which deals with our attitudes and our head. Otherwise, our hope confronts the concerns of the mind and the thinking. Meanwhile, charity, it is a virtue that deals with your application of your life and your heart. And charity is considered the greatest of these virtues, and partially because it can be given. As opposed to hope and faith, it is the virtue that gives, and of which Jesus provides the ultimate example in how He gave His life for us in love. And finally, there remains faith. And faith is a powerful virtue. It demonstrates this wonderful bond between belief and action. And while faith may interact with the head and the heart, with hope and with love, its main concern is in its incorporation with the hands. If you could look at the hope, it's having to do with the head. If you're looking at love, it's having to do with the heart. But if you're talking about faith, it has to do with the hands, because faith without works is dead, and it has to get integrated in working with the hands. It has to become active. You see, faith is not interested in mere reasoning. It doesn't want to just know reasons. And it's not even concerned with the current reality. It doesn't care about what's happening right now. But what it does care about is an actionable response. It wants to move. It wants to push. It wants to go forward. It wants to take from where it is to go where it needs to be. Faith wants a response. And faith provides the work to hope's wants and charity's will. It says, I'm going to bring work to the table. We're going to bring an action plan and execute it. If we were to open up the Bible and look at the words that were used to be able to describe faith in the Hebrew, you would have it meaning established or trustworthy. It would mean firmness, security, stability. Those words would be the back definitions to the word faith in the Old Testament. And as you go into the New Testament, you begin to open up the Greek, it begins to use words like persuasion. My faith is my persuasion. It's what I'm persuaded of. It's what I know to be true. It's the credence. It's the belief. It's the conviction that holds me together. It is the reliance, my assurance, my belief. It is my faith. And so all these words, they're very strong, they're very powerful, they're very moving, they're very resolute in what they stand for. As we continue, and many of you know this, this is just an overview of faith, so we have a deeper understanding of it. The virtue of faith, it even has an entire chapter in dedication to it, Hebrews 11. In fact, from the very immediate onset of the chapter, it provides a definition of faith. It doesn't want to go talking any further about faith until it sums up a definition, until it says, this is what it means before we start moving forward. I want us to all be on the same page before we go forward. And so this is what Hebrews 11, verse 1 says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, faith, it is this concrete support of something that is being expected. It supports this expectation. It is the proof of a matter that has not yet been realized. There's proof that's there, but yet there's no realization of the expectation that is there. Faith is taking expectation and coupling it with evidence, saying, I have this little bit of knowledge. I have this little bit of understanding. This is what has happened in the past. This is what God has done. And this is my expectation of what he can do. And you bring them together, you fuse them together, and that is called faith, is when your expectation meets the evidence that God has brought, whether you found it in prayer, whether you found that evidence in his word, whether someone spoke to you, a word confirming from the Lord, there is evidence and there is your expectation, and then you have faith. Faith, it marches forward into the unknown with what it knows to be true. It marches into the unknown with only what it knows to be true. So with what little it has, it goes forward into the unknown. Paul told the Corinthian church this, in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If this morning, if I had a person in this congregation by the name of Faith, I was going to walk with them. I'm assuming she would. It would be a female. And I would walk with Faith down the aisle with my eyes closed. And so I could say I walked by faith and not by sight. So, but I don't have someone here named Faith. So I couldn't do that this morning, but I figured I'd give you the example anyhow. In other words, faith looks ahead. It looks ahead with hope, and it moves ahead with truth. It looks ahead with a hope, and it moves ahead with that truth, while not yet seeing every detail for what is ahead. It doesn't know the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. It doesn't know every finite detail that could be exposed. Yet it looks ahead saying, there's a hope that I see somewhere off in the distance. And I'm going to move forward with this expectation and with this little truth that I have. And I'm going to see something come of it. Our Christian walk as the scripture says, is not reliant. Not reliant on what we can see, on the appearances of things, the look of it, but rather on our unwavering faith. As you continue to read Hebrews 11, each person that is listed in it demonstrates an actionable and obedient works by faith. And we must understand that it was by faith that these things happened. It was by faith that these things happened. I want to, as I'm kind of going through these, I'm not going to read the entire verses of everything they've done, but I wanted to show the name of the person coupled with the action, with the verbs that were associated with them. They weren't associated just with things, but they were associated with action, with works that coupled with their faith. And so you had Abel. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch pleased. By faith, Noah moved and he prepared. By faith, Abraham, he obeyed, he went, he sojourned, he looked, and he offered. By faith, Sarah, she delivered and she judged. By faith, Isaac, he blessed, as well as Jacob. By faith, Jacob blessed and he worshiped. By faith, Joseph made mention. By faith, Moses refused. By faith, Moses chose. He esteemed, he respected, he forsook, he endured, and he kept. By faith, Israel passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Jericho's walls fell down. By faith, Rahab perished not, and she received entrance into the promise. All these beautiful things. Why? By faith. And still, yet others by faith are mentioned. The chapter goes on to say, if I had time, I could talk to you about David and Gideon and all these many others, the prophets, and how they did all these wonderful things. And he goes on to say, by faith, these kinds of people subdued kingdoms. Subdued. They worked. There was something that took place. They wrought righteousness. They brought righteousness forth. They obtained promises. They took a hold of every promise that was laid before them. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong in their weakness. They waxed valiant. They turned armies away. They received their dead to life, and they endured. Wow, that sounds powerful. That sounds conquering. That sounds like something I want to be a part of. That's great faith right there. And these actionable items were fused with their faith. They didn't just listen. They did not just hear, but they began to operate and move according to the word of faith that they had heard. However, faith doesn't just help in the conquering. And faith does not just help in the great exploits. But faith, and by faith, they endured. Because it goes on to say, by faith, they endured torture and trial, mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment, chains and stoning, testing and execution, wanderings and affliction. And can I tell you, church, your faith doesn't just help you to conquer mountains, but it helps you to endure valleys. It helps you when you're going on the mountaintops of life and when you feel like you're at the lowest points of life. It helps you when you're trying to achieve, and it helps you when you're trying to just keep on keeping on. When you have answers and you're moving forward, and when you have just very little to go on, and you wonder why the affliction, why the test, why the problem, why the issue, and you say, by faith, God gave me this. I'm going to walk and I'm going to push forward and move forward at what little hope I have, and the expectancy that God knows best, and he knows what he's doing, and he's going to help me endure, and he's going to help me push forward, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, not by how the appearance of things may be, because my God is faithful concerning me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never been without for me, and I can trust him. That's my credence. That's my persuasion. That's my conviction, church. I can have faith that he will work. Powerful in how that works, not just for the great things and the exploits of life, but for the things that we endure, the hardships we face. Each of these people from the Bible, they moved by obedient faith. Obedient faith to what? God's word. They heard the word and they moved by the word in faith. And so likewise, church, we must remember that is not by sight, but we go by faith. And it's that by faith that we are able to enjoy victories and endure trials. It is by faith that we conquer the insurmountable and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is by faith that you'll do your part and rely on the unseen part that only God can do. It's the faith to say, I know I can take the next step, and I know that God has everything else in the way, and he has it all planned out, and he knows concerning my life. I wanted to look specifically at the life of Abraham. He's a powerful representation of faith. And in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he was called to go to a place he would receive. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Let's think about that for a moment. Abraham was truly moving into the unknown. He did not know the landscape. He did not know the nearest wells. He did not know where the rivers or streams went. He did not know where the provision would come from. He did not know where the dangers would come from. He did not know what kind of dangers may be faced. Yet by faith, Abraham heard the word of God, and he moved by faith in obedience, not knowing whither he went. He could not see what the future held for him. The promised land was unseen and unknown territory in his life. It was outside of his comfort zone. And to move outside of where he knew, it could be a detriment. It could be a problem for him. It could be a problem for his family. It could be a problem for his finances. It could be a problem for his protection. Yet God said in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, if you're willing to go, Abraham, I'll bless you. If you're willing to go, Abraham, I'll multiply you. If you're willing to go, Abraham, I'm going to call you out and bless the nations that bless you and curse the nations that curse you. If you're just willing to be obedient by faith to the things that I'm asking you, there is so much more for you in your promise. And I'm so thankful that by faith, Abraham was obedient to God's word, and he went. And perhaps maybe this morning you feel much like Abraham. God is calling you out to go into places you have never gone. You can't seem to know what the future holds. And yet God's promises lay waiting right outside your comfort zone. It's uneasy, it's inconvenient, it doesn't feel comfortable. Yet right outside of that, on the other side of your comfort zone, is a promise waiting, a promise that has been given, a promise that only needs you to walk in it for it to be received. And God's promises lay waiting right outside of that comfort zone. You can't seem to see all the details clearly. You can't see the who, the what, the when, the where, why, and how. Yet, I want to give you this reminder. You have a promise. You have evidence. And you can have an expectation that if you walk by faith and not by sight at the things that God has given you, he will answer. He will provide. He will protect. He will preserve. He will help us through. Whether it's to bring about a great conquering or whether it's just to endure to the next day, God has his promises. You must remember that the promises They come from this Bible. You must remember the promises that God gave you in prayer. You must remember those things. That is the evidence you hold on to while you continue to walk. I have nothing else to hold on to but this very truth that you gave me. You have nothing else to hold on to but this very truth that he gave us and that we can hold on to and that we can believe on. This world will go up, this world will go down, but I carry this truth and I move forward. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk in these steps. I walk with this as my light, giving me a flashlight, as it were, to the very next step I say. And I can't see clearly in the distance, but I walk by faith and not by sight. And I hold this truth so close and so dear because it's the only thing that's going to help me go forward. It's the only thing that's going to help you, church. It's the only thing that's going to help you conquer or endure or face trials, whether today, whether tomorrow, whether many days from now. It is what you need to hold on to. Don't put it aside. Don't let it stay on just the bedside or in some cupboard or somewhere else. Hold on to it. Get it near you. Open it up, whether it's in your Bible, whether it's on your phone. Write it upon the walls of your house. Read it. Memorize it. Keep it close to you. It's the only thing that's going to keep us. I must hear the Word of God. I must know the Word of God. I must live the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to keep me walking by faith. And that's what Abraham had to walk by. He had nothing else but a simple word from God that said, go, I'm calling you out. I'm asking of you, do this that I've asked. That's it. That's it. Not paragraphs, not sheets of Bible to be able to glean from. A word to move upon. And he said, all right, let's do this. And he moved forward by faith. And you might feel like Abraham. You're walking into areas you do not know, but your Lord is with you. Galatians says this much more about Abraham in Galatians 3:6. It said, even as Abraham believed God, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham's belief in God caused God to say, I count you, I reckon you, I consider you as righteous before me. Why? Because you believed me. You are a good person. You are right in my eyes. Why? Because you believed the words that I said. That's how God viewed Abraham. But I don't want to just stop there with verse 6, because verse 7 begins to apply to you and me. Because in verse 7 it says, know ye therefore, because Abraham believed, and because he was counted righteous, therefore they which are of faith, the same are called the children of Abraham. That means if you and I also believe, if you and I also believe, we are considered righteous. If you and I also believe, not only are we considered righteous, we are considered the children of Abraham. And if we are the children of Abraham, we are the children of the promise. We are a children of an inheritance. We are heirs with him through Christ. That is powerful. Why? Because we believed. Because of faith. That is powerful. And it continues further into verse 8, it says, and the scripture, I love the next word, foreseeing, it could see things that we could not. The scripture, the word of God, sees things that you cannot see. God in himself, his words, they speak things into existence that you have not yet realized. Why would I not want to be close to the word if it sees ahead in those things I cannot see? That's why I want it so close, because it begins to see things before me and helps me to begin to see them only if I begin to listen to it. So it says here, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Wait a second. Who are the heathens? That's Gentiles. That's the people who aren't the chosen of God. We were heathens, but now we have been justified through faith. And the scripture saw that happening even before we could ever realize it. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. This was something that was given to Abraham even before Jesus came. Even before we had the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ was making a provision for us. God was making a provision for us, the Gentiles, the people who were the heathens, the people who were outside of the promise. And he said, I'm going to make a promise for those who are outside of the promise, who have no connection to an inheritance, who have nothing that's connection to me. And I have something for them. And the way that they'll get that connection to me is by faith. The way that you have entrance into the promises of God is by your faith. You could not do it yourself. It was by faith. And this was something that was preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee, remember Genesis 12, 1 through 4? Those that bless me shall be blessed, and those who curse me shall be cursed. Speaking to Abraham, all the nations. Well, he was speaking not just of those people in Abraham's day, but those days that would follow. Well, we have believed, and we have blessed the seed of Abraham, and we believe, and in thee shall all the nations be blessed. We've believed the promises of God, and now by our faith, we've become associated with the promises of God. So if we are also of people of faith like Abraham, we are the children of Abraham. We are counted as righteous. And God's word foresaw the things we could never see, in that God would justify every person through faith and cause them to become blessed. And our faith, it made us the children of Abraham, which gave us access by faith to an inheritance of God's grace. But it did so much more than just make us children of Abraham. I just want to begin listing. I wish I had time to go through every one of these scriptures. There, you know, just in the New Testament alone, there's some 200 plus times that it says just the word faith. Not faithful, not faithfulness, not any of those ways. Just faith. It says it 200 plus times. And I began to go through them, and I was fascinated what happens by faith or through faith or with faith. And it says, by faith, that we are sanctified, we are cleansed, we are made holy. By faith, we not only become the children of Abraham, but we become the children of God. It's by faith that we walk. It's by faith that the just live. It's by faith that we are justified. It says, by faith, we stand. By faith, we have a promise. By faith, we have access. By faith, we have a confidence. By faith, Christ can dwell in our hearts. That's the way that Jesus was able to dwell in our hearts. It wasn't because we did anything. Yes, we had to do our part, but by our faith, Christ could now dwell in us. By faith, our hearts are purified. By faith, we are heirs. Through faith, we have a promise of the Spirit. Through your faith, we have a promise of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that can dwell in each and every one of us. Through faith, we have salvation and are saved. Through faith, we will be risen with him. Who here is expectant of that day? And we have an evidence of it in this wonderful word. Through faith, we will be risen like he was risen. And we'll take on incorruptible into this corruptible, and we become glorious with him in new bodies. I'm expectant of that day. Are you expectant of that day? That's exciting to me. But it's by faith that I'm looking forward with this hope, with the evidence that I have, step by step, day by day. We cannot forfeit it. We cannot lay it aside. Jesus is coming, and he is coming soon. So let's walk by faith, for he's coming. Faith not only does that, but it makes us whole. Faith counts us as righteous, and it says faith overcomes the world. So why wouldn't I want faith if it helps me to overcome the world that faces me? And not only that, Jesus Christ himself is the author and the finisher of our faith. He begins it, he writes it, and he finishes it, and he refines it within our lives. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's wonderful to hear about faith, to hear about the blessings associated with faith. But how do I receive faith? Where does faith come from? Well, it tells us. Thank you, Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. There it is again, folks. I must hear the word of God. Abraham listened. He heard God's word and he moved. And he had faith because he heard the word. So faith comes from hearing God's word. Who here has ever, and you might feel like you're being a little vulnerable, but we're amongst the family this morning. Who here has ever felt weak in their faith? I know I have. Who's ever felt that they lacked in their faith? These are biblical terms that are said, that they're weak in their faith, lacking in their faith. Who here has, instead of feeling like they had great faith, they felt like they had small faith? It's like, it's just a little bit. I have very little to hold on to and very little to expect. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Whether you might have weak faith, lack of faith, or just a little bit of faith, that's better than no faith. God can work with something. And I know that I have, at points in my life, felt like one of those categories. But if I can just hear God's word, if I can just get to the presence of God in prayer or with this Bible, and I can begin to open it, and I can begin to read it, and I can begin to listen to it, whether it's on audio or whether in teaching or whether in preaching, I begin to hear it and it begins to feed my soul, and I begin to feel faith rise up within me. Why? Because those who hear the word of God, faith cometh by hearing. That's how it happens. I must become witness to the things of God in order to have faith in God. So I begin to hear God's word and my faith begins to rise. There is something more to hearing the preached word of God. I can't just hear the preached word of God, but now something else begins to happen. I like it. I like it a lot because in Hebrews 4:2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached." We heard something. We heard some truths as well as unto them. There were others who heard it as well. But the word preached did not profit them. Why did it not profit them? We both heard the word of God. I heard the word of God and others have heard the word of God. But why does it work for some and not for others? It goes on to say, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I can't just hear it. I have to take the faith, what little it may be, and I have to add it to the word of God. And I have to begin to stir my faith up with God's word and say, this is going to work. What is this but action? I need mixing. I need stirring. I need to be stirred up within myself to begin to move, to operate, to work, to go forth based on the hearing of the word that I had. It must be mixed with faith. That's what makes it work for some and not for others. Has it been mixed? Who here has baked a cake? Many of you have baked a cake. Okay, now I know who I am going to eat baked goods from. The others of you who did not raise your hand, I will not eat whatever you make, because you did not bake. So, when you are putting together a cake, you open up the cracking of the eggs and the mixing. You have the flour and the sugar and all these different items. And you could instantly put them into the oven and hope that they turn out as you would hope. It will not work. I am telling you right now. Why? Because the ingredients were not mixed. It would be a hot mess. It would be disastrous. You would not want to eat of that. But when it is all mixed together, each of those elements, something beautiful can begin to come out of that oven. Something that can be orchestrated. And that's exactly what happens. When I take my part, my faith, and I add it to God's part, his word, something beautiful begins to happen when we begin to mix that together. Promises begin to be seen. Preservation begins to be felt. Protection is experienced. Why? because our faith has been mixed with a word. Not just heard, but mixed, moved upon, worked. So the word of God that we hear must be mixed with faith if it is to be profitable in our lives. Don't sell a cake that you have never mixed. It's not good. But you can sell this. It's profitable in our lives. And James also gives us this reminder in James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, if my spirit, my life force that was in me was absent from this body, I would be dead. So as the body without the spirit is dead, it says, so faith without works is dead. Faith is like that spirit, that life force within us, while works is the embodiment of that faith that says, I'm going to put it to action. I am going to move it forward. I am going to use this life that I actually have within me. But if I don't have faith with works, it is dead. It is unprofitable. If our faith is put into action, it is worthwhile. It is valuable. It is priceless. It is profitable. So for faith to be introduced and made effective in our lives, I must hear God's word. I must mix my faith with God's word. And I must work to faithfully follow God's word. I've got to hear it. I got to mix my faith with it. And I got to follow it if it's going to work in my life. I got to work in order for it to work. And I want to encourage you. We are encouraged by God's word to do many things with our faith. And I don't want to read all these scriptures, but I want to give you the essence of it. God's word encourages us to be established in the faith, to continue in the faith, to earnestly contend or to fight for this faith. It even tells us so much to fight the good fight of faith, to keep the faith, to be obedient to the faith, to follow and to hold to faith. It says, I like this one, it says to be shut up unto the faith. Basically, you're closed in with faith, and you say, I'm shutting everything else out, and I'm going to be shut in with faith. Nothing else is going to distract me. Nothing else is going to be keeping me, but I'm going to be shut up unto faith. It asks us to comfort our faith, to love with our faith, to stand fast in the faith. That means we're resolute, we're holding to, we're staying firm, to be sound in the faith, to examine yourself in the faith. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're examining ourselves in the faith, and hopefully you've begun to do that. Have I been faithful? Do I have faith? Does my faith need to grow? Where are my faith levels right now? Do I need to hear the word of God? Do I need to mix my current faith with the word of God? Do I need to work on the word of God that I've already heard with the faith that I already have and see it begin to operate? We begin to examine ourselves in faith. It says for us to be full of faith, to preach the faith, to have faith towards God, to have faith in God, to have faith in Jesus Christ, to have faith in his blood. I can have faith in his blood for what it did on Calvary. And it's by his stripes that I am healed. It's by that blood that was poured out that each of us had that price paid. I have faith in that blood because I don't want those sins for myself. I don't want them anymore. God can have them. Jesus Christ took it for me, and I have faith in his blood and what it could do. I have faith in every persecution, and I have faith in every tribulation and trial. I know that I can ask in faith, and I can pray the prayer of faith. I can use the shield of faith. I can use the gift of faith. I can wear the breastplate of faith. I can have faith as a grain of mustard seed that grows and grows and grows to be a great tree and causes others to be blessed as well. You can let your faith grow exceedingly. You can increase your faith, as the scripture says. You can add to your faith virtue. And you can go from faith to faith. And don't forget, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's there with you from beginning to end. He's the one who's writing the story. He's the one who's a part of your story, your epistle, your letter, your life. And he's going to be from the very beginning, and he's going to be at the very finishing of it. He's not going to leave us in this from faith to faith. And if you would stand with me this morning, I want to finish with this final verse from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that's action. If I'm going to come to God, must believe that he is. Again, action is always coupled with belief, with our faith. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I have to be looking. I have to be seeking. I have to be hoping. I have to be diligent. I have to take what I have. That's the only way I'm going to please God. It's the only way we're going to please God if we have faith. Nobody's going to please him in this place if we don't walk by faith and not by our sight. Ultimately, in order to please God, I must have the virtue of faith living within my life. It has to be active. I have to hear the word. I have to mix my faith with the word. And I will have to work by faith in the word. And today, you can have this fantastic virtue increased in your life. After all, it says in the scripture, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Increase your faith. Go from faith to faith. So I want to invite you this morning. I know some hands raised this morning that at some point you felt your faith lacking. You have felt maybe your faith small. You have felt that your faith maybe even been non-existent. But whatever your case, you can come to this altar. You have heard the preached word of God. And with what little that you have, I ask that you come and begin to mix it and say, God, I have this hope. And I've heard this little bit of evidence, and I'm going to stir it together, and I'm going to move out of my pew, and I'm going to begin to pray, and I'm going to do my part, because I know that you're going to do your part, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to move based on the little word that you've given me. I'm going to step out like Abraham did. I'm going to refuse some things like Moses did. I'm going to hold to some promises, and I'm going to speak forth some things like Joseph and Sarah did. I'm going to judge you as righteous, Lord, concerning my life, that you've held and you've considered me and you've done all that you've told me that you would do. And I'm going to move from where I'm at, and I'm going to move into the unknown, because that's where the promises are. That's where you have things that are yet not being seen, and yet they are to be given unto me. I am an inheritor. I have promises. I'm a child of Abraham, and even greater, Lord Jesus, I'm a child of you. I'm a child that has inheritance. I'm a child who has promises. You are a child this morning by faith. And you can take a hold of every promise that this word says. And you can take a hold of every promise that God has ever spoken to you through his word. And you can say, God, I remember what you said in this verse, that you heal. I remember what you said in this verse, you protect. I remember what you said in this verse, that you comfort. I remember what the scripture says. It says that you'll preserve me, and you'll protect me, and you'll keep me, and you'll help me, and you'll stay by me, and you won't forsake me, and you won't leave me, and you'll be there with me, and every single time you'll help me endure. And so I trust, and I believe, and I move by that faith this morning. Remember it. Oh, church, let us remember it. It is by faith that we're going to be able to please God. It was by faith that Enoch pleased God. That was his testimony, that he pleased God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, that God took him, that God rose him from where he was, that he was translated, that he went to be with God forevermore. And I want to be with God, and it's only going to be by this faith. I trust in you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.